Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll get an update about the Juno Libraries from Beth Weigel. We will talk with Dr. Jane Chu, chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts, right here on a Juno Afternoon. Crystal Borland from NAMI will be here with a preview of their peer-to-peer education program. And we'll get an update from the Juno School District about upcoming open houses. Those interviews, National Native News, Writers Almanac, Bird Note, music and more right here on the Juno Afternoon. Currently a gorgeous 59 degrees at the Juno Airport.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. President Obama discussed taking action on climate change during his visit to Alaska Monday in Anchorage. Before giving a speech to dozens of foreign ministers and dignitaries from around the world, he met with Alaska Native leaders. KMBA's Jocelyn Estes reports.
Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium President Andy Tuber was one of a dozen Alaska Native leaders from across the state who met with the president for an hour.
He told us up front that he was there to listen, and he did. He listened to everybody around the table, including all of the tribal or indigenous leaders, and then he followed up with questions, and he took copious notes, and Secretary Jewell was in the room with us and several of his administration staff members, and we'll look forward to following up with members of his administration.
During his speech, President Obama mentioned some of what he had learned in his meeting with Native leaders.
They described for me villages that are slipping into the sea and the changes that are taking place, changing migratory patterns, the changing fauna, so that what used to feed the animals that they in turn would hunt or fish beginning to vanish. It's urgent for them today, but that is the future for all of us if we don't take care.
Daley Sambodoro is the former chair and current expert member of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. She says the president also struck a theme for his international audience.
I think that it was, first of all, important that he acknowledged the impact of climate change on Alaska's indigenous peoples. And the refrain that he had in terms of that we can't do this alone. It was a really strong message to all the other foreign ministers seated around the table that we need collective action. And I think it was also important that he underscored the fact that we need to do this much faster.
The president will visit Seward on the road system in south central Alaska and two predominantly Alaska Native communities in western and northwest Alaska. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
The newly crowned Mrs. Universe, a First Nations woman, is using her title to help address physical and sexual abuse. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
25-year-old Ashley Burnham is from the Enoch Cree First Nation west of Edmonton. She's an actress, model, and motivational speaker. And she says she's overwhelmed by the attention she's been getting since she was crowned Mrs. Universe. Burnham says the phone has been ringing off the hook. Burnham was a former finalist for the 2013 Miss Universe Canada contest and was chosen as Miss Canada for the Miss Friendship International pageant held in China in 2010. She grew up in poor conditions on the reserve and faced many difficulties as a child, including physical and sexual abuse.
It's personally affected me in my life greatly, and I thought this is like a perfect platform for me because I'm relatable to people. I've experienced this myself, and I'm able to speak about it. I'm strong enough to speak about it to other people and other women and children, and a lot of people aren't as brave or aren't as strong because it's a thing about fear. It holds you back. So I'm glad I'm able to use this title as a way to speak for others that can't speak for themselves.
Burnham says although her childhood was incredibly difficult, it made her appreciate everything she has today, most importantly, her strength. She graduated from the television program at the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology in Edmonton and is now pursuing an arts degree focusing on drama and acting. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. Scott Burton, your host today, and now in the studio with me, she's the program coordinator for the Juneau Public Libraries, Ms. Beth Weigel. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. Great to be here.
Beautiful afternoon. Thanks for coming into Studio A.
Yeah.
It's nice. Nice to have you. So this is a very exciting time for you and the Juneau Public Libraries.
It's thrilling. I mean, we are moving the library from the Mendenhall Mall to our new location at Diamond Park. Today's the first day of the move, so the Mendenhall Mall location is no longer open to the public. You may see people in there, but we're busily putting the books on the carts and wrapping them in Saran. A lot of people have asked about how the book move would happen. And
sounds heavy.
Well, they're on carts with wheels, so.
Nice. And so are they just going to go down the road? Or?
Well, that would be fun, wouldn't it? We probably would have needed a parade permit for that. But we have a truck, and we roll them onto the truck and then roll them off the truck, and they'll be in order. So that's one of the big advantages to using the carts over boxing everything, and it helps us save our backs a little bit, too, I think. So that's the primary method for moving most of the collection. Now, we've, over the last month, been asking the public to help us by becoming checkout champions and coming over to the Mendenhall Mall library location and checking out the maximum number of items they can check out, which is 40. And I'd like to see how many people do you think checked out 40 items in the last month? What's your guess?
In Juneau.
In Juneau, yes.
400.
Well, you're a little over the amount that did, but 184 people came in to the Valley and checked out 40 items. That's a total of 7,360 items, which is about 16.7% of our collection in the Valley, because we have about 44,000 items there. So that's a huge part of the collection to be checked out by the public.
Mm-hmm.
And any guesses on what were the popular things to check out?
Harry Potter.
Yes, those three copies of Harry Potter were checked out. But you're right on track with the juvenile and children's books, right? So the children's section was highly checked out, and all the picture books and JFIC and things like that. And then what do you think? What else might be popular items?
Hopefully heavy stuff. That's what I'm thinking.
That's true. A lot of people came in and picked up really big, fat books or odd-shaped books.
Just to help out.
Yeah, a lot of those coffee table kind of books, things like, you know, beautiful architecture and gardening things like that. A lot of our cookbooks went out, so there's going to be some good meals cooked here. And the big thing was that you could keep a lot of these items for 2 months instead of 1 month, so we extended the checkout period. And for things like videos and games, that was huge, because usually it's only a week checkout. So some people are going to be watching over and over again their favorite, maybe Harry Potter movie. I don't know, but it was pretty spectacular to watch. We had boxes and people came in with their own bags, and we were just checking things out like crazy. And it was pretty fantastic to see the community rally around this move. So thank you to everyone. And you're probably wondering, when can we bring the books back?
Please.
To the new Valley Library in Diamond Park? And we're our goal is we're aiming for October 5th to reopen, but we're going to hold off on having any sort of grand opening celebration until November. So probably on November 7th we'll have that grand opening celebration. But we should be moved in and ready to go and circulate and all that stuff by October 5th. Now, if you're going out of town and you're worried about having those books past a time or whatever, you can always return them to another library and we'll circulate them through the book bags, or our book drop will open up at the New Valley Library probably mid-September. So you can come over and check out where your brick is maybe on the wall and put your books in the book drop. But otherwise, it'd be fun. Just come on in once we're open, and it's going to be a beautiful space with views of Thunder Mountain, and it's just so wonderful.
In case somebody doesn't know, Can you describe exactly where the new library is?
Yes. So if you are familiar with where Thunder Mountain High School and the Diamond Park Aquatic Center is, we're right next to the pool. We have our own parking area, so you don't have to take up any pool parking, and you'll be able to come check us out. It's the beautiful new building right there on the corner.
Very exciting. What else is going on?
Well, in addition, we've, of course, got a variety of programming happening. Now, we were on a little break with our toddler times and story times, and we're back on for those, except for our Valley ones. So those we will not have throughout September, but we'll have our regularly scheduled toddler times and story times at the Downtown Library and the Douglas Library. And we also are going to be taking part in a bunch of really fun activities over the course of September. So we will be hosting a CBJ Day of Play at our Douglas Library on Saturday, September 12th, and we'll put out our library labyrinth and have our story paths, and we'll start our bookmark contest and things like that. So it's a day where you can go to the various different places around town that are part of Parks and Recs or other city places and participate in that. So we'll be doing that from 1:30 to 4:30 on the 12th. And then on Saturday, September 19th, we're going to head up to Eagle Crest for Discover Eagle Crest Day. We'll have story time and, again, our library labyrinth and Legos and story paths. And that'll be great fun up there from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Eagle Crest Lodge. And then we'll also be hosting a Batman Day at the Downtown Library on Saturday, September 26th. So the Saturdays in September are going to be hopping. And we're planning to do something at the Downtown Library from 12:30 to 4:30, thinking we'll have the bat monitoring folks from Alaska Department of Fish and Game come in and talk about that program that we've been helping with all summer, checking out the bat monitoring equipment and helping with counting with the population. And also we'll have our friends from Alaska Robotics come in and help us think about how to draw maybe or do a green screen or something like that, something fun and interactive on Batman Day. We also have a couple of other great events happening on September 19th. We're going to have a brown bag lunch with Perseverance Theater at the Downtown Library at noon. It'll be a great time to get an inside look at how Othello is going to come to life. You can chat with director Tom Robinault and some cast members. And then we're also hosting a 49 Writers Authors panel discussion with Melina Moustakas, who's on her book tour. And that'll be called Shaped by the North, along with Melinda Moustakas, Ernestine Hayes, Brendan Jones, and photographer Ben Huff will also be discussing how the landscape shapes them as artists and shape their work. Moustakas's, her latest book is called Bear Down, Bear North, Alaska Stories. It's beautiful. It won the Flannery O'Connor Award and a Maurice Prize, and it was one of 5 under 35 selections by the National Book Foundation. So she's a really great, wonderful writer, and we're excited to have her and the other panelists come in for a discussion. And that's also like the day that cruise ships are leaving, just as a side note, on September 24th. So that'll be a great time to take back the Downtown Library and, just enjoy the view again from our downtown space.
Yeah, those are some great artists right there. That'll be an interesting discussion. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and of course, we're still ongoing with our StoryCorps project at the library. We've been recording interviews with Alaska Natives about their educational experiences. I know that here at K2, the interview between Nora Downauer and her daughter Leonora Florendo was edited by Lisa Fu, and it's up on your website, and we'll have it on our Facebook page and stuff. So if you have questions about the StoryCorps project, Every Voice Matters, about our Alaska Native educational stories, recordings, oral histories, you can give me a call at 586-0434. We'd love to hear from folks who want to participate and help create this wonderful archive of stories that people will be able to access for use in future research projects, helping of redesigning curriculum materials, whatever is people's interest in learning a little bit more about Alaska Native educational stories.
All right. A lot going on at the Juneau Public Libraries. Program coordinator Beth Weigel, thank you so much for coming in today. Remind me one more time where to go in case we want a recap of all this info.
You can visit our website at juneau.org/library or our Facebook page. And just another quick reminder that we will be closed on Memorial Day at all our locations.
Beth, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me. And I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail. You won't read that book again because the ending's just too hard to take. Star who gets burned in a three-way script, enter number two. A movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. I never thought I could act this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone and I just can't get it back. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, the story always ends. If you read between the lines, you'll know that I'm just trying to understand the feeling that you lack. Never thought I could feel this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back.
Raven Correspondence School is a quality statewide K-12 homeschool program and is currently taking enrollment for the 2015-2016 school year. With Raven Correspondence, students will have a wide variety of curriculum choices with certified teacher support as well as easy access to local resources and activities. For enrollment information, visit ravenschool.com or call 888-99-RAVEN. This message is brought to you by Raven Correspondence School. There's no place like home.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. It's about 20 minutes after the hour, and I have been joined in the studio now by a whole gaggle of artists and advocates of the arts. Chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts, Dr. Jane Chu, welcome to the show.
Thanks for letting me join you.
It's an honor to have you. And we also have Mr. Ben Brown, fellow host here on Juno Afternoon, who also happens to be the chairman on the State Council on the Arts. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you, Scott. Good
nice
to be here.
Nice to have you. And also Shannon Dout, she's the executive director of the State Council on the Arts. Quite a crew. Thank you for coming in out of this beautiful day.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you here. So, Chairman Chu, you've been sort of going around Alaska. Tell us about some of your first impressions about the arts community in our state.
Well, the arts community is thriving in Alaska, and one of the things that I've noted the most is they have a wonderful way, the Alaskan artists have a wonderful way of honoring the long-established traditions of Alaska and at the same time looking forward to the future as well.
Okay. Okay, and we were just commenting on the weather outside. It's an absolutely beautiful day, and we were saying that maybe if it was like this all the time, we wouldn't be such great artists. I've heard people argue that because of our long nights and wet and cold winters that sometimes we're able to turn inward and create better art. Have you ever heard of anything like that, and what do you think about it?
Well, there's something about the creative process that you can pull out of yourself, extract out of yourself the creativity, that the purity of the creativity that's within you. And so that's what's so great about artists and the arts, is you're able to create from wherever you are and whatever you want your conditions to be. So I can certainly see that if you have a long set of nights, it does allow you to focus, and that's what's so great about creativity. Time just stands still while you create.
You are an artist, a musician, a pianist, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your background in that and how that sculpted your outlook on the arts.
Oh, it's been the arts, music in particular, has been the base of my ability to create and find my own form of self-expression. So I started by playing the piano when I was 8. But when my father died, when I was 9, he died of cancer, and I'm the only child. And there really wasn't enough at that age of vocabulary to be able to express my own grief as a child. Many children that age don't have enough words as well. But there was something about music that would allow me to, that I couldn't even articulate now why it was so soothing to me. It really didn't matter what kind of music it was. There was just something about it that allowed me to find my own self-expression. And from there, I became intellectually curious about the arts as well. So it's really been there for me, a gift to me for expressing my own self and really connecting to other people and understanding them too.
Could you imagine a life without arts?
Cannot imagine it. It's really, there have been many times where the arts have been my life, and it adds a dimension to my own life that it far surpasses just the everyday things we do.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were appointed last year as chairman by President Obama.
That's right.
That's right.
So I've been at the National Endowment for the Arts a year.
Okay. And you preside over a council, the National Council on the Arts, is that correct?
There's a group of experts in the field called the National Council on the Arts, and they really are experts from all over the nation. They're an advisory council, and they do a great job because they understand what's going on out there.
And so your job basically is to give arts organizations grants and money.
The National Endowment for the Arts really has been, over the last 5 decades, because we're 50 years old now, had an opportunity to award grants all over the nation, all over America, related to nurturing, elevating, and sustaining creativity, and having to make sure that all Americans have an opportunity to be engaged with and benefit from the arts.
Sounds like a pretty good gig.
It's been very satisfying because wherever we go, and we travel a lot, we're able to say, when you've seen one community, you've really only seen one, because every community has its own special, unique stamp, its own characteristics, and at the same time, art is thriving there in its own way.
All right. Shannon, what's it like for you to have Chairman Chu here in town?
Oh, it's such a delight, and she's such a wonderful travel companion as well. But it's just been really fantastic to be able to show off our artistic assets and just all of the wonderful artists and arts organizations that we have throughout the state. I just wish we had another week so we could see more of the state. It's with Palmer, Anchorage, Juneau, and Sitka, so pretty good trip. But there's also a lot that we're not getting to as well, and there's just so much going on up here. It's great to be able to share it.
You're traveling, certainly. Ben, are you traveling too?
Well, I was able to go up to Palmer, which is, of course, where I went to high school, and so I had a little bit of, you know, pride in being able to show the chairman the new Glenn Massey Theater with Thomas Kloberg, the director of Matsu College. That's the fastest-growing part of the state, Scott, and I think we as a council obviously have to be cognizant of that, because that's where our new constituents, that's where the new young artists and arts appreciating Alaskans are growing at the fastest pace. So that was wonderful. I did not spend the entire weekend up there. I chose to avoid traveling in Anchorage yesterday because there was an important visitor and there was a little snarled, but I am having a wonderful time going around the capital city with the chairman today and with Shannon, and we will be going to Sitka tomorrow. And we have as full an agenda as we can have without having it burst at the seams, I would say. And we are very proud of our collaborative relationship with the Alaska State Council on the Arts, with the NEA. We couldn't do it without them, and I know the chairman knows that they couldn't do what they do without the state arts agencies, so it's very symbiotic.
We see ourselves as partners with our state arts councils, and we're so grateful to the Alaska State Council on the Arts, not only for what they do to help the arts thrive, but we came upon their invitation.
Okay. Last question to each of you. I'll let you go. I know you're very busy. All three of you sort of have similar jobs with your councils. What kind of art projects, what kind of theaters, what is working right now? What are communities doing right, and what are you looking for when somebody is asking for money?
Well, I think collective impact is probably what we are all looking for, which is don't just do something in isolation, have a concert, have a play, okay, people went and they enjoyed it, and that's the end beneficial result. And not that that's a bad thing, but it's possible to target resources, target artistic activity in collaboration with other agencies, other individuals that are trying to accomplish things. So whether that's helping wounded servicemen recover from post-traumatic stress disorder, I think that's something we're looking at, and I think that's something the NEA is looking at as well.
Well, it is indeed, and I would echo what Chairman Brown said, to say that really if we can show through hard evidence the connections of arts to our everyday lives, where it might be the beauty of arts itself, or it might be the results of how the arts affect and help academic performance and our students and, achievement, as well as healing and other aspects, economic. It's a strong economic driver. So as when we send out and are able to send out the message that the arts belong to all of us, that they're not a frill and they're not off in a corner, but they're really for everybody in all kinds of different ways, that's a measure of success.
All right, Shannon?
Well, I would just echo all of those things. I think one of the things that we is particularly strong in Alaska is that we take an arts-integrated approach to a lot of different things, whether that be healthcare or homelessness or economic development. Arts are a strategy that's used. And I think as an agency, we want to focus a lot on that and really see how the arts can help benefit and strengthen our state, especially as we have a lot of challenges that we're facing.
Absolutely. Well, I have a ton more questions, but I will let you go for now. Executive Director Dowd, Chairman Brown, and Chairman Chu, thank you all so much for coming in today. Am I missing anything? Anything you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to thank KTOO for being a great partner to all the arts organizations in the capital city and even ones from across the state, and getting the word out about the important things that the arts can help do to make people's lives better. KTOO is as valuable a partner as any that we have.
Great. Thanks, you all.
Thank you.
See ya.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 1st of September, 2015. It's the anniversary of the attack that began World War II. 1939, Hitler sent his army into Poland. He claimed it was a counterattack, that the Poles had started the whole thing, but in reality the Polish troops had simply moved up to their own border to try to defend it against German troops who had been moving to the Eastern Front for weeks. Hitler had just signed a treaty with the Soviet Union, which surprised everybody. They had been sworn enemies, but their intention was to carve up Poland, Germany getting the western third, the Soviets taking the rest. Britain and France, allied with Poland, entered the war 2 days later, but by then it was too late. The German army, within 6 days, had taken Krakow, and within 10, they were outside Warsaw. It's the birthday of Edgar Rice Burroughs, born Chicago, 1875. He was a pencil sharpener salesman when he decided to try his hand at writing for pulp magazines, and he created the popular character Tarzan, King of the Apes, who was an aristocratic English boy named John Clayton, lost in the jungles of West Africa, adopted by kindly great apes after his parents die. It was an instant success, Tarzan. Book came out in 1914. In the end, more than 40 Tarzan novels, comic books, Hollywood movies, which made Burroughs very unhappy because in the movies, Tarzan was a sort of savage, whereas in the books, he is a very erudite and wealthy heir to a noble English fortune. And it was on this date in 1850 that P.T. Barnum brought Jenny Lind to New York. Jenny Lind, the Swedish Nightingale, gifted soprano, wildly popular in Europe. And when her ship docked in New York City, 30,000 people came to meet her. P.T. Barnum paid her $1,000 a performance plus expenses, paid it all in advance for 150 concerts. And Jenny Lind signed on because she wanted to raise money to endow some schools in Sweden and give money away to local charities. She was famous for that. Here's a poem for today by Daniel Hoffman entitled Ants. There's is a perfection of pure form. Nobody but has his proper place and knows it. Everything they do is functional. Each foray in a zigzag line, each prodigious lifting of 32 times their own weight, each excavation into the earth's core, each erection of a crumbly, parapeted tower. None of these feats is a private pleasure, none of them done for the sake of the skill alone. They've got a going concern down there, a full egg hatchery, a wet nursery of aphids, a trained troop of maintenance engineers, sanitation experts, a corps of hunters and butchers, an army, a queen. Each is nothing without the others, each being a part of something greater than all of them put together, a purpose which none of them knows, since each is only the one thing that he does. There is a true consistency toward which their actions tend. The ants have bred and inbred to perfection. The strains of their genes that survive. Every possible contingency has been foreseen and written into the plan. Nothing they do will be wrong. A poem titled Ants by Daniel Hoffman from Beyond Silence, published by Louisiana State University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Alaska Community Action on Toxics, YWCA, and Alaska Run for Women invite everyone to a free lecture, What the Pink? Protecting the Breasts You Love. A national panel of experts will teach you about the science linking toxic chemicals and breast cancer and what you can do about it. Attend on September 3rd at the Jack, beginning at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit akaction.org.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. It's about 35 minutes after the hour, and I've been joined in the studio now by Executive Director Crystal Borland. She's from NAMI, or the National Alliance on Mental Illness, here in Juneau. Welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on the show. Can you start by telling us a little bit about what NAMI Juneau does?
Sure. So we're a nonprofit organization that does education and advocacy, support, and public awareness. We are trying to reach anyone affected by mental illness in our community. We're the local affiliate, so we're a broader national organization. And here locally, we run peer-driven education and support groups. And when I say peer-driven, that means that they're taught by trained peers, people that have lived experience that are leading these nationally recognized courses.
Where is your physical location?
We're located over at Jordan Square out in the valley, but a lot of our programs take place in different locations in the community just so we can reach people downtown versus maybe out in the valley. So we use Bartlett a lot. They have given us space as well as K2O.
Okay. What are some of the most common forms of mental illness that you see?
Right. Well, it's kind of hard to say in terms of our community specifically, but some of the ones, you know, major mental illnesses are major depression, generalized anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. And what we know nationally, it's really kind of, it's a very high statistic. About 1 in 5 individuals or adults in the United States are experiencing a mental health condition, and about 1 in 17 are experiencing a major or chronic mental illness.
How many of, not to put you on the spot statistics-wise, but I was just wondering, of those 1 in 5, how many are getting diagnosed? I wonder.
Well, that's the 1 in 5 that are likely getting diagnosed, experiencing a mental health condition within a year, right?
Okay. Yeah. So among other things you do, you have a peer mentorship program, which I think is really interesting. Will you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, we have a class coming up. It's called Peer to Peer, and it's a free 10-week course that's really educationally focused. And it's for any individual experiencing a mental health condition that is really just interested in learning more about these illnesses, that is interested in learning about wellness and essentially recovery. And so it really goes back and forth with discussion and interactive exercises, and there's just really that built-in support because you're among people that can relate to you. And so there's a lot of compassion and, you know, acceptance in the room while you're learning more about these illnesses.
Okay. And who would benefit most from going to this class?
Certainly. Anyone who has a mental health condition and is an adult. So for this one, it is 18 or over. But anyone who's interested in learning more about really the biology of the brain, different treatment options. We certainly don't endorse or recommend a certain medication or treatment option, but it's just really up-to-date information that's provided through our national office. So these programs just have some great body of research and highly vetted. So.
Okay, and so that's this Thursday, is that right? Or it's Thursday nights.
You got it.
Okay.
So Thursday nights, and it starts next week, so that's the 10th of September, and it's going to run for 10 weeks, so every Thursday night at 5:30 to 7:30. And we do require registration. All our programs are offered for free in the community, and in fact, Juneau's Hope Endowment Fund helps with a grant for this program, so we thank them, but they're offered for free to participants. So they can give us a call. Anyone can call us at 463-4210 if they want to register, or visit our website, which is namijuneau.org.
Okay. And also coming up is your next Inside Passages, right?
Yeah, so Inside Passages are our monthly forums on mental health and wellness. This is open to anyone in the community that's just interested in learning more about different topics around mental health and wellness. And for September, we've got folks coming from Juneau Youth Services to talk about therapeutic foster care. It's a really critical service and definitely needed in our community. But even if you're just interested in learning more about it, they're going to be at Bartlett on Tuesday night from 5:15 to 6:45. And that's next Tuesday, the 8th.
Okay. If somebody wanted to find this information online, where should they go?
namijuno.org. So N-A-M-I and then juno.org. And everything should be there, or feel free to give our office a call. I would love to talk to you and tell you more, answer questions, give you details.
Sounds good. Crystal Borland, she's the ED, Executive Director at NAMI Juno. Crystal, are we missing anything? Anything else you want to add?
We also have a family support group coming up, because one of the things that we find really important is also educating and supporting family members that have a loved one in their life, whether that be a child or a spouse or a sibling or just a really close friend, to really kind of get support and collective wisdom from other people that are going through similar challenges. So that's on the first and third Thursdays of every month at our office. And again, our website is just a great resource to get the details.
Yeah, it sounds like all of your programs have a couple common denominators, community or support, and then and knowledge to help process some of these mental illnesses. So it seems like a great program. Thanks again, Crystal. Anything else?
That's it. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
What I've got, I don't want. All it does is hover and taunt, reminding me what I used to be, what I may never be again. Turns out what I'm good at doing is making something out of the ruin of all this wasted space that can never be replaced. Learn it all again tomorrow. Learn it all again tomorrow. Nothing I have you can borrow or steal. Yes, I think we have a deal. If my wheels were square, but the earth was jagged, I'd roll along and be no less ragged than I seem to be today. Usually this way. Learn it all again tomorrow. Learn it all again tomorrow. Nothing I have you can't borrow or see. Yes, I think we have a deal. I wish every holiday only took an hour. I'm not just like the people I resent. I wish someday I could truly be empowered to say exactly what it is I meant. All I have that's in abundance is my perpetual redundance. It's hard for me to say. I face it every day. Learn it all again tomorrow. Learn it all again tomorrow. Nothing I have you can't borrow or steal. Learn it all again tomorrow. Learn it all again tomorrow. Nothing I have you can't borrow. I think we have a deal.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. It's about 14 minutes until the top of the hour, currently 59 degrees at the Federal Building.
Brewfest is coming. KXLL is proud to sponsor the Rotary Club of Juno for the 4th annual Capital Brewfest, September 26th at the Jack from 1 to 5 p.m. This year there are even more participating brewers, and as always, there will be great local music and food. All proceeds benefit humanitarian works of Juno Rotary and United Way of Southeast Alaska. Come enjoy craft brew for a cause. Tickets are limited and available now at capbrewfest.com.
This is Bird Note.
Hmm.
Once nesting season ends, these violet-green swallows seem to know it's time to party. They usually nest as single pairs in cavities or nesting boxes in the western United States. But now, they gather on electrical wires by the dozens and chatter away as part of their pre-migration socializing. They're not alone. Tree swallows, both adults and juveniles, often join the violet-greens before they all begin their southbound migration to Mexico and Central America. Cliff swallows may gather in the same fashion, and barn swallows, not just in North America, but across Europe and into China, party too. Birds flock for protection. The more eyes watching, the greater the chance of noticing predators. Also, birds flock to share information about where to find food. Migrating by day, swallows forage for insects as they move south. Next spring, when they return, you won't see the swallows sitting on telephone wires. Then it's all business as they begin selecting their sites and building their nests. They save their socializing for the fall. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. It's about 14 minutes until the top of the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by Gastineau Principal Brenda Edwards. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yeah, so you just started. How's the school year? How's it going so far?
It's always fun this time of year. You know, kids are always so excited to come back to school, which, you know, when we're getting ready for school to start, it's crazy, it's fast, it's stressful. And that first day of school, just, you know, having all those happy kids and all those big smiles and hugs just reminds us all of why we do what we do.
I remember when I was in school, I used to put out my clothes the night before for the first day. Do principals do that too?
I have to do that. I've got two young kids of my own, so we prep a lot of things the night before. It's actually a pretty good strategy. People should try it.
It's less to think about in the morning, right?
Yes, especially when you're tired and haven't had your coffee yet.
Absolutely. So exciting times over at Gastineau. Let's talk about the open house that's going to be coming up. But also there's been some remodeling, the playground, some art going in. Bring us up to date.
Oh, we've had such a great time. One of the wonderful things about this year is that I have all returning staff and returning teachers, which in any workplace, you know, being able to start with people that you know and people you're familiar with, we're able to just get going a lot faster. So that's been great. We do have open house on Thursday. It's from 5:30 to 6, and that's a district elementary time. So all the elementary schools have open house on Thursday. So we would love to see as many people come and say hi to their new teachers and say hi to friends and other families in the school. It's a really good time to just reconnect with the school and, you know, see what's going on.
And that's this Thursday from when to when?
This Thursday from 5 to 6:30 at all the elementary schools.
And I suspect that open house is not a time to get too technical to talk about one's child, right? It's just sort of a social time. And
it is. It is good. It's nice to just check in with your teacher, but you're exactly right. Teachers are just getting to know their new classroom of students. A lot of our schools are really heavy into getting some of our initial assessments done and just seeing where kids have grown over the summer and matured. And so we don't have a lot of information yet on students, and but you can at least check in and see how things are going so far.
Okay. About how many students do you have over at Gastineau?
We're down this year. We're a little bit lower than we have been in the last couple of years. We've got about 270 students this year.
Okay. Just sort of thinking about elementary schools in the community. What does a elementary school need from the community at large? Do you need volunteers? How can folks contribute?
Yeah, we had a conversation this morning. We had our administrators meeting, and we were talking about the new strategic plan that's been set forth for our school district for the next few years. And one of the highlights that we spent some time this morning talking about was community involvement and parent involvement and caregiver involvement. So we've been spending some time, and we'll continue to spend time, on how we can engage families in a meaningful way, you know, so families feel like the time that they're contributing is worthwhile and meaningful, and also for students to see their own families in the school and having an investment in what all the hard work that they're doing. There are lots of ways that you can contribute across the whole school district with formal ways like site council and, you know, PTO, PTA. One of the programs we have at Gastineau is we have a working relationship with United Way. So they do a reading tutor program that volunteers come into the school for about 15 to 30 minutes a week, which has been great. And we've got amazing volunteers. And it sounds like Lisa Worrell, who has been facilitating a lot of the work with the relationship with the school district in United Way, has gotten a lot of interest. But we can definitely use more. There are lots of kids that just really enjoy having an adult come in and spend some time, you know, one-on-one with just them. It's really special.
And is that associated with Big Brothers, Big Sisters? Because they're in the schools sometimes too, right?
Yeah, Big Brothers and Big Sisters is another organization that we've got a great relationship with. They offer two kinds of programs, one where you are coming and spending time in the school, and there's an outside of school, a community program. We're always looking for people to volunteer to participate in that program as well.
Okay. In the meantime, the open house is this Thursday from 5 to 6:30 at all the elementary schools in all of Juneau, right?
That's correct.
Okay. If somebody wanted more info, should they just call Gastineau School?
You can definitely reach out to any neighborhood school. The district office has done an amazing job in getting a lot of information on our new Juneau School District website. So that's a great place to look for information. There's a parent tab that has a lot of information there.
Can remind us that website?
It's junoschools.org.
All right. Well, Principal Brenda Edwards, thank you so much for coming in today. Are we missing anything? Anything you want to add?
Just come and visit our schools and come and see what your kids are up to.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Support comes from the City and Borough of Juneau Aquatics Division. Monday, September 7th, Augustus Brown Pool will be closed in observance of Labor Day, but Diamond Park Aquatic Center will be hosting two special open swims. For the Labor Day open swim times and the Diamond Park Aquatic Center fall schedule, visit juneau.org/park/diamond park or call 586-2782.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon today. Tomorrow, Jamie Waste will be your host, and he'll get a preview of this Saturday's Music on the Mountain event at the Mount Roberts Tram. Keith Palke will be here to highlight upcoming Cub Scout and Boy Scout activities. Magician Joseph Rome will give us details about next Thursday's fundraising magic show at the Jack for Alaska Legal Services. And we'll learn about the Art of Recovery First Friday exhibit. And we'll learn about Bo Bodart's film, Walking in Two Worlds, scheduled for Wednesday night on 360 North. Those interviews, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more Wednesday on KTOO News Juneau. If you missed the live show right here, it's also available at 4 on KRNN and online at ktoo.org. During the course of the last hour, it's climbed from 59 to 60 degrees at the Juneau Airport. And tonight it's going to be partly cloudy, lows 38 to 44. Wednesday, partly cloudy, highs around 60. Thursday, sunny, highs around 59. Northwest wind 5 to 15. Friday, mostly cloudy, highs around 57. Saturday, cloudy, chance of rain, highs around 55. And Sunday through Labor Day, rain likely, highs around 55, lows 44 to 50. Stay tuned for headline news.